Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Becky.
Paige.
Hi, Chris, it's Lisa.
Hello. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Do we have other people here?
Hi, this is Lisa also.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Welcome,
Hi,
Lisa.
Chris. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Anyone else want to say hi?
Hi, this is Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Thank you for hosting.
You're welcome. Lisa, the ringleader. Lisa, are you still with us?
Yes, sir. Sucking on a milkshake from McDonald's.
Last-minute dinner.
That's right.
Okay. Do we have Sophia here? She's not here yet. Okay. Lisa, you've got the floor.
Well, it's not quite 6:30 yet, or 9:30, so I would like to give people a few minutes to join.
Okay.
So it sounds like someone else just joined us.
Hi, it's Jennifer.
Hi,
Hi, Jennifer.
Welcome.
Hi, thank you, guys.
I'm going to give it 1 minute till 6:31, okay. And then we're going to open with prayer and get started. Because I want to be conscious of the fact that we have people in different time zones. Chris is in the East Coast, so it's 9:30 for him.
Huh? What?
Hi,
Gigi.
This is Lisa, who's joined. Hi, Gigi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Sounds like
Sophia.
Someone else joined.
Hello.
Hi, Silvana.
Hello.
Hi, Silvana. Hi again.
Oh, Silvana.
Hi.
Hi. This is Gigi.
Hi, Gigi. Hi, guys.
Hello. Hello.
I mean, what's going on here? Whose idea was this? This is awesome.
go ahead, Lisa.
So far we have Chris, Lisa, and Sophia. So I'm Lisa, and we have Sophia. So we're the three ringleaders here. And we also have another Lisa that has joined, Kelly, Jennifer, Gigi, and Silvana. Have I missed anyone? Okay. I said I was going to start at 6:31. We're supposed to be starting at 6:30, and we would like to try to keep it to 45 minutes. Want to be very respectful of the fact that we do have people in different time zones. I happen to be in Arizona, so it's only 6:30 for me right now. Okay. I got that text message. So we're going to start tonight with prayer. Chris is going to share a testimony on free will, and you will all have an opportunity to ask questions. Hopefully we may be able to give some answers. If not, you know, we'll pray about it. And also, if you want to have an we want you to be able to, if you have a very specific prayer request, maybe you don't want to share it on the call, feel free to email it to me, and we will make sure that we are offering up prayers for your specific request. And, of course, we know we're all standing for souls to be saved and marriage restoration and just for God to do his thing and get that devil out of these relationships, out of these husbands and wives. And so sounds like someone else just joined.
Yeah, it sounds like two other people just joined.
Hi, Warnicki. It's Sophia. Hi. How are you?
Oh, it's been a night. The hotel's messed up our thing, so I'm going to take my Fab Five back to the lobby and try to deal with the hotel. But if you could put me on mute, I would love to listen in. Sorry about the chaos.
No problem.
Did
anyone
else go on? You could probably mute yourself from your side.
This is Paige.
Paige, okay. Did Jarrett join by any chance?
This is Lee.
Oh, hi, Lee.
Hi, Lee.
This is Christina.
Hi, Christina.
Hi.
All right, has Princess Hannah joined? Or Hannah?
I can't hang here for a little bit because there's a lot of people in the lobby. And I don't know what they've
okay.
got going on. It would probably be less disruptive to everybody if I can just talk to the people out there. Can you hang here for a couple minutes?
Yeah, Warnicki, if you can mute on your end, that would also work well.
I'm not sure my Flintstone phone has that ability. Would you prefer if I call back in, or what would work best for you?
No, Warnicki, I can mute you here from my end. If you're ready, I'm going to put you on
you.
Mute, okay?
Yes, thank you all very much.
Okay.
All right, then. If there's no one else that has joined that wants to introduce themselves, then we're going to go ahead and get started. And, Chris, I'll open up with prayer, and if you'll be so kind of tonight when we get ready to close, if you would close us out in prayer.
Okay.
All right, Father, we thank you right now for those who have joined on this line tonight. We come tonight, Father, to give you praise in all that we do and give you the glory. Lord God, we ask that you will direct our thoughts, direct our minds, direct the words that come out of our mouth. Father, we ask that you will bless every soul that has attended this call on tonight. We ask that you will go and look into their home, Father, that you will make the difference, Father. We thank you for all that you have already done and all that you are about to do. We ask that you will even touch our bodies on tonight. We thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory and all of the honor. We ask that your will be magnified on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Thank you, Lisa.
So we're going to start off with Chris. I'm going to turn the floor over to you, Chris. I'm just going to let you do your thing. You have about 10 to 15 minutes. If you would be so kind as to introduce yourself, and I think everybody on this call pretty much already know you. And if you would be so kind also as to share a little bit about how we got started and what we're trying to do here.
Okay, I'll start with the easy one first, how we got started. Well, Lisa calls or emails me and one or two other people, and her used her very persuasive skills and got us involved in doing conference calls. So didn't take much persuasion, but here we are. And Lisa is the one who, to her credit, she coordinates our phone calls every week, and we have side conversations that we use for planning. So you guys could redirect your appreciation and everything else to Lisa. She's the one who really is the brainchild of this, I'm sure, through the Holy Spirit. But so here we are. So welcome, everybody, and I'm glad that those of you who are here, and hope you are all blessed by what we are trying to do. I think what we're trying to do, and at least I think this is what you asked me to do, to say, I think a few weeks ago we just saw a lot of discouragement on the prayer wall, and when Lisa approached me and a few others to do this conference call, we thought it was a great idea. We think that what's really needed on the prayer wall is more contact, be able to connect with someone, and, you know, just get some encouragement, prayers, encouragement, something. There's a little bit of a vacuum on the prayer wall that we're not, you know, some of us are not getting, and we've seen that. And we just need to, you know what, we're a family, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we should be encouraging each other to the extent that we can all the time. So here, that's why we're doing this, and that's why we're here. And if it's Lord willing, we'll continue doing this as long as, you know, everyone benefits and everyone's encouraged. Because at the end of the day, that's all we want to do, is just do the Lord's will, stand for our marriages, stand successfully, stand strong. We've got a world out there that we go into every single day that we have to deal with. Our marriages, the world, sometimes family members are not encouraging us, and we need that. So, but let me move right into my little mini testimony on free will. I've struggled with this a little bit when I first started my stand about 2 years ago, because I believed that we have free will, but I also believe that God's will supersedes our free will. And what I had a hard time or a challenge in grasping or wrapping my brain around was, how do you reconcile those two? Where does our free will stop and where does God's free will start? And so I'll share a couple of one testimonial that happened with me, with my girls, for example, and I'll share some scriptures with you guys to back this up. We overcome. This is Revelation. I can't remember where it is, but in Revelation we read, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. And so through Jesus Christ and the word, we have that, but then by testimonies. When we read other people's testimonies, that encourages us, and it also becomes prophetic that what happened in that guy's life or that girl's life and their scenario, we can take that and pray for the exactly same thing to happen in our situation. So that's how it becomes prophetic. So I'll give you an example of what happened with me and my girls. This was just last week. I've got three girls. Some of you know. I have three girls. They're all in their teens. And we had an issue amongst the three of them for the past 2 years. And I'm not going to go into detail what the issue was. Just a major disagreement between the three of them. And it just keeps bubbling to the surface every 6 months or so. 2 weeks ago, it bubbled up to the surface again, and then I sat them down. I said, look, guys, I don't have an answer, but I know who does. So I said, let's take it to the Lord in prayer, because the Lord knows, and the Lord will give us an answer. I don't know what the answer is, but he does. So we literally got on our knees, we got in a circle, and we prayed before going to bed. When we woke up in the morning, I'm making breakfast for the girls and lunches, and then I overhear their conversation upstairs. So I run upstairs to see what the conversation's about, and then I discover that one of them, who woke up in the morning, God changed her heart about this issue. And when God changed her heart about the issue, between the three of them, just completely disappeared because she had a change of heart. Now, I've talked to her about this issue many times over the last 2 years. My wife has talked to her about this issue several times, and nothing would get through to her. She was adamant about her position, her decision, where she stood on the issue. Nothing was going to change her. And yet we prayed that one evening, and even after the girls went to bed that evening, I then had one-on-one with God, and I said, I prayed to God. I said, look, you need to show your power. You need to show your strength. And I had a conversation with God one-on-one in my prayer closet and woke up in the morning, and there was. It was completely solved. So after that, the Holy Spirit said to me, Chris, see how easily I could change a heart? Well, it's just as easy for me to do that with your wife. Yeah. Now, I will tell you that a year and a half ago, two, maybe 3 months into my stand, I was sitting in a church service, and the Holy Spirit was speaking to me saying, I turned your wife's heart away from you, but when I'm ready, I'm going to turn it back towards you. This is almost 2 years ago now that I had that. I journal as much as I can, and that's in my journal, been almost 2 years now. So time and time again, a couple of other instances of that kind. But I don't know if all of you, I'm sure some of you have testimonies, but on this very issue. But when we come to free will, we read throughout the scriptures that God's in charge. He's always in charge. His will supersedes ours all the time. Because if we had absolute, as some people believe, absolute free will, then it would be almost impossible for God to achieve the things that he wants to achieve all the time. But yet every single detail of our existence, my life, your life, there's not, you know, one bird in the desert somewhere where no one can see him, not one bird, not one animal, not one leaf that moves without, you know, God's knowledge and ordaining it. So it's, you know, we're given free will so long as it lines up with God's. In the Bible, we could go back, and if you guys are familiar with the story of Nebuchadnezzar, he was a king. He, for 7 years, God turned his heart into an animal, and he lived in the wilderness for 7 years. And then God turned his heart back to a man's, a human heart, and then he came back, and then he says, he was quoted as saying, "There is now only one God, there's only one God that I acknowledge, and that's, you know, the God of heaven, the God of, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Pharaoh of Egypt, we all know that story. God turned his heart, you know, hardened his heart, softened his heart, went back and forth, just like a yo-yo. It's like, you know, that God wasn't playing with him. God was doing it because he was showing his might and his strength. He said to Moses, he said, "I'm going to make you a God," you know, giving him his power to do that. So time and time again, we see throughout scripture that God directs the hearts wherever he wants. And if he directs the hearts, he's directing free will. But the other thing I think that for me made it crystallized this understanding is this. And I think for me this was profound when I came to the realization of this. Even when I was battling the divorce, my own attorney at one point asked me, he says, "Well, what about free will?" My attorney is a Christian. And I said, "Yeah, see, that's the funny thing is we think that, you know, what about free will? What about, doesn't your wife have free will?" And I said to him, "She does. But what person in the right mind would walk away from something that's good and run towards something that's bad? Because everybody, even the secular world, acknowledges divorce is the second worst thing that anyone can suffer on earth. So why would somebody run towards a fire, run towards a bad scenario willingly? They don't. Their free will has been captured by our enemy through lies and deceptions. And I think if we could wrap our brain around that and grasp that, we'll get this thing on free will. And if we could get this thing on free will, if we understand this, then what it does is emboldens us, encourages us to do the number one thing that God wants us to do is pray for our spouses. Because if we don't, who will? Who is? And there might be some people praying for your spouse, but really, that's your job because you're the spouse. My job. So I come back to the realization that our spouses have been lied to and deceived by our enemy, the world, the flesh, and our enemy. And they've believed that lie, and they've gone down that road believing a lie. Because of the hundreds of testimonials that I've read or seen on YouTube videos, all of them, and many other prodigal stories, we have prodigal-turned-standers here on the prayer wall. And every one of them says exactly the same thing. I was blinded. I was deceived. God brought me to a point, turned me around. So the issue of free will is we have free will, but where your spouse is right now, running away from you, your marriage, your family, your kids, their free will has been taken hostage by our enemy. And there's tons of scripture in the New Testament talking about that, Old and New Testament talking about, you know, being led captive by captivity. So we do have free will, but our spouses right now, when God delivers them from that land of captivity, they'll have their free will restored. And then they say, I just want my family back. I want my husband back. I want my wife back. I want my family, my kids. I want my life back. That's what they all say. So that's my part on free will is we've got testimonies. We've got scriptures in the Old Testament and New Testament. That covers a full gamut of, you know, what free will really is. We have it. But in this scenario here, our spouses, they've been taken captive. Their free will has been locked up. So I'm done, Lisa. You can take the floor.
All right. I think you said it all. So we're going to open up the floor right now for anyone who may have a question or want this additional clarification from Chris or anyone on the call. Does anyone want to have anything to say right now?
Now, this is Gigi. If I could just kind of fall in here for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Follow up on Chris's testimony there about free will. There's a verse in the Bible. It's 2 Samuel 14:14, and it's a good read. It's about King David, but I won't get into all that. But in 2 Samuel 14:14b, it says, "But God does not take away life. Instead, he devises ways, that's plural, so that a banished person may not remain estranged from him." I'm nervous for some reason. Anyway, so, free will. God devises ways so that a banished person may not remain estranged from him. God will come in, and we think we have free will, but God comes in and takes over, and he devises ways. And I believe that he will start out gently, and if something doesn't, he's not going to let us go. He won't let our spouses go. He won't let our families go. He's going to be the loving God that he is, and devises ways that he knows that's going to turn those hearts around. I don't know how to turn my husband's heart around, but God does. And anyway, so that's all. Thank you.
You're welcome. You said that was 2 Samuel 14:14?
2 Samuel 14:14.
Yeah, I did a study on David about maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. Very good study. Is there anyone who kind of disagrees? Because we don't all have to agree, but we can come together and reason. Is there anyone who kind of sees it differently regarding free will?
This is Jennifer. I don't disagree at all. It just scares me when my husband says, you know, God can't force me to do anything I don't want to do. I have free will. He's not going to make me stay in an unhappy marriage. And I told him, I was like, God, I mean, he cares about your happiness, but he wants you to come to him first before, you know, become holy before happy. And I just think it scares me just hearing it from my husband's mouth constantly. But I don't disagree. Actually, what Chris said made so much sense to me tonight, like actually hearing it in person or, you know, over the phone. It just made a lot of sense for me. So thank you, Chris.
Yeah, thank you, Chris.
They say a lot of things that are because we have to, and it's so hard to separate our spouse from that spirit that is motivating them. And those words that come out of their mouth, those are the words of the enemy that are sent to us to try to discourage us, to accuse us. And we have to realize that that's what it is. And so last night, for example, when my husband was at my house and I was fixing him something to eat, I was praying over the food. I was praying over the water that I was giving him because 3 weeks ago he stood in my house and looked at me and said, I don't even like you. 3 weeks later, he's sitting in my house eating my food. And it's nothing but the words of the enemy trying to get us to say things to hinder or prolong what God is trying to do in the spouse because we want to defend. We want to defend ourselves and our position and our marriage, but that's not what God wants us to do. He wants
us to allow him to fight the battle. So zipping our lips and praying, that's the best two things we can do, especially us women on the call. So, I had asked, one person had reached out to me. They wanted to do a share, and I don't know if he's on the call or not. I had tried to reach out, and that was Jared. So, Jared, did you join by any chance? Okay. Doesn't sound like he did. Sophia, you're being kind of quiet, so I'm going to give you an opportunity right now.
I'm just soaking it all in. I'm taking it all in as well. No, but no, just to touch on the free will. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but, and I know plenty of us have kind of questioned, like, oh my gosh, is this, you know, and I've seen it on the share wall where people are like, you know what, I'm done. I'm done. My husband's telling me this or telling me that. Like, I'm done with my stand. And then they come back a few days later because God tugged at your heart to come back. So that, to me, if God can do that to you, if you're talking in your flesh and you're saying, I'm done because you're so focused, we're so focused on our circumstances, but yet God is still speaking to us, speaking to our hearts and bringing us back to stand and to trust him. So how are you not sure that, you know, we have to understand that he's doing the same thing with our spouses? And I can tell you plenty of times where, you know, Jennifer, just to touch on what your husband said, my husband told me the same thing. He told me I have free will. But, you know, God has answered so many of my prayers. Just to tell you, back in December, my husband was purchasing a new vehicle. And my prayer is always that, you know, a bunch of, you know, all the prayers that I have, was to send godly men into my husband's life to guide him back to God. And would you not believe that the used car salesman was talking to my husband about God and gave him a book about God? Just 2 weeks after that, he was getting, when our divorce was finalized, he got to keep the house. I ended up moving out. He started updating the house. Would you not believe that the painters that were painting his house were talking to my husband about God? So God hears our prayers, even though sometimes we may not see anything, but there's always something going on the other side, and we just have to trust God. Trust me, I've been there. I've questioned it. I'm like, okay, am I going crazy? But when we leave it and completely surrender it to God, I know he's moving. I know he's moving. And I'd rather do it his way than try to take it in my hands and do it my way. So just that's my advice to you guys. You know, just keep believing God. Keep your strength. Keep having faith. So he does answer prayers, and I've seen it plenty of times.
Amen. This is Lisa. I have been, and I'm going to say this, and some of you will probably cringe, but I have been the other woman a long, 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 long time ago. So I had thought about writing a devotional from the other woman's perspective, because I have been the other woman and what's going through our mind. And I had my free will then, and God changed me then. I have been the prodigal, and I had my free will then, and God changed my heart at that time. And now I am the standard. So God will get what God wants from us. Is there anyone else that would like to share or have a question?
Yes. I'm R3 on the share wall. I don't post very much. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know how much I'm supposed to reveal or whatever, but I'll just go ahead. My husband divorced me. We were married 38 years. We have two grandchildren. The other woman was a widow. He left before he met her, and he met her, I don't know, 6 to 8 months after he left. I didn't know about her until it was about a year and a half, 2 years, that he was in the affair with her. The divorce went through in August of 2016, and sometime last year, he married her. I think they've been married for about a year now. I don't know exactly when they got married, February or March of last year. I'm not sure. Anyway, I just, I don't know how to pray. Am I praying? I know what the word says about this being adultery, but yet there are so many podcasts and quote-unquote Christian pastors, preachers who say that once they're married, it's a marriage. You're not supposed to interfere in any way. I just don't know how to pray anymore or what to pray. And so it's hard. He lives in another state. There's very little contact, if at all. I will say, though, on the flip side is he took most of the family photo albums when he left and moved to this other state with her. And he was mailing them back periodically. And a year, almost a year to the date after his divorce was final, so it was in 2017, the first package, one of the packages came back addressed to Mrs. and then my name. And so I took that as my sign. That was my sign from God. And this past year, he had to mail me a form for one of the insurance things in the decree. He mailed the form with address to Mrs. I had to sign the form and send it back, but there was an incorrect piece of information. So he had to redo the form and mail it to me again. So that was the following month. He sent it to Mrs., addressed to Mrs. again. Now, meanwhile, he's married already to the other woman, but he's sending it to me. And then in the meantime, he sent back another box of photos the following month, and that was also addressed to Mrs. And so I belong to another marriage recovery group online where I have a small group of women I'm part of, and we share our stories, and everybody's at different stages of divorce or marriage restoration. And everybody's like, well, it doesn't mean anything, it doesn't mean anything. And to me, Mrs. always meant you're married, you're somebody's wife. So I've been hanging on to that as like my sign from God that he's going to restore my marriage. And it's just hard to know, am I praying against something because they're married, even though I know it's adultery? Am I going against the 10th commandment by coveting something that someone else has? But then I think, no, he's my husband still. I mean, that's how I feel in my heart. So anyway, I don't know what to pray, if I'm praying the right things. And so if anybody has any advice or help, I would very much appreciate it. Thank you.
This is Warnicky, and I've actually been struggling with the how do I pray about this sort of thing in a very emotionally difficult situation. My husband now has an infant child with the other woman, and my how do I pray, how do I think about this, how do I feel about it was over this child, and that's what I've exactly been praying. God, how do I think about this? How do I pray about this? What do you want from me? And I didn't try to answer the question for many months. I would ask the question, I'd leave it at that, and I felt God would put something in my heart when it was time. And I spoke with Sophia about this. It was probably maybe a month and a half ago. God gave me a prayer, a dream that was very unusual, but in the dream I realized I was protecting this child from some very demonic influences in his life. And so then I thought, okay, I'll just pray prayers of protection. And that was kind of, I know what you mean, like signs that people might not think anything of kind of can guide you. So that was the first thing. And then the other thing was just this past weekend, 2 days ago, I walked by a store and I saw a small sweatshirt, and it just struck me, buy that for this child. And I thought, that's very odd. And I kind of dismissed it, but it kept popping into my mind. And last night, as I prayed over it, I sat down with our oldest son, who's 13, and mentioned the sweatshirt. And he broke down to me and said that as mad as he is about everything, he does not want to be mad about this child because the child is only a baby, but he does not want to admit that he likes this child because he doesn't want to feel like he's betraying me. I said, no, you're not betraying me. You know, yes, let's, and I told him about seeing the sweatshirt. And he said, okay, well, let's go into this gift shop and see if there's something that we think would be appropriate for this child. And we went in, and there was another sweatshirt there in his size, and the tag on it, the company that made it was called Say It With Love. And so we chose to buy that sweatshirt for the child, and my son is going to give it to him next time they see it. And I can just see God kind of, I prayed, you know, how do I think about this child? How do you want me to pray for him? What do you want me to think about it? And step by step, God is incrementally softening my heart and changing my heart and my son's heart. He was so angry and hard-hearted about this child, and God is working in our lives. That whole free will and yet being open to what God's will is, the unthinkable can be done. Don't feel like you have to rush to a decision about how you should pray for your husband or what you should think about the situation. Just ask God and then keep asking and be open. And I really do believe that he will lead you to a place of healing and clarity. I mean, I'm still not there yet. It's still a step-by-step process, but the journey can be very beautiful and healing if you don't try to get all the answers all at once. I hope that maybe helped a little.
Can I cut in real quick and make a couple of comments? I have seen testimonials, read them, and seen them both. I have several books on restored marriage testimonials, and they go into greater detail. There are some YouTube videos as well. Specifically regarding the spouse marrying someone else in adultery, having a child with that other person, because it goes both ways. You know, the man, the husband leaves, goes, marries the adulterous woman, and then they have a child. I've seen there are many, many testimonials out there, both in writing, YouTube, that God has reversed those adulterous marriages and brought the husband or the wife back. There are testimonials where there was a child within that affair or that adulterous marriage, and then God brought them back, and then, you know, God helped them heal their hearts, and some of them have adopted the child outright, and it's, you know, the father or the mother who was involved in that adulterous relationship is, I don't know how they're involved, nobody has said that, but God has given the husband and wife, once he's restored the marriage, has given both a heart and a love for that child. Now, I want to connect that with the Bible. One thing I learned throughout my whole stand is, if I'm going to stand on God's word, then I need to understand what God's word says about it, about all of this, and I don't want to open my mouth unless I could tie it directly with something scriptural. Let me take you back to Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, they tried to do something on their own. You know the story. You had Isaac, and then you had Ishmael. Ishmael was first. Ishmael was illegitimate. But look, think back now in the story. Think of God's compassion. When I went back and read that over several times during my stand, I think I was amazed at God's compassion, because he went back and he took care of, and I can't remember what the woman's name was, the servant who, Hagar, thank you.
Hagar. Mm-hmm.
God went and searched out for Hagar when she ran for her life with Ishmael, and God spoke to her, an angel of the Lord went and spoke to her, and cared for her and provided for her, not only that, but then blessed the son. And we see, for me, that's, God's, yes, that child is born in an adulterous relationship or affair, But God's compassion is extending even to that child, because every life, God is behind every life. So there's, God's compassion is enough to transform your heart, fill you with love, forgiveness, then love, and then to have love for that child. So it's a journey, but I will tell you, the only way to get there is one-on-one with God. I emphasize this as often as I can. God has a unique plan for each one of us. The destination is the same. Our journeys may look different toward that destination. But during that journey, God wants to be right there with you one-on-one. He wants to make himself more real and more known to each and every one of us, privately one-on-one, to get us there. And that, in that private closet, that private one-on-one time, that's where God is going to fill our hearts with forgiveness, compassion, and love. Love for our spouses, no matter what they've done. Love for any children that may be born out of those adulterous relationships. Anything that we might need, God is there to give it to us, provide it, and fill us up with that. So you're on that journey, on that road to that place. Keep staying the course, because God's got some great things for you.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I pray, and I've been praying it constantly, is a very simple prayer, and it just says, "What lack I yet?" This journey, the journey that we're all on, it really truly begins with each one of us. Mm-hmm. And so every time I've been doing been standing since December 29th of 2017, and I have gone through so many changes within myself. Just a week ago, March 3rd, I repented to my husband for one more thing that I didn't even think I was wrong in, but God showed me, and I prayed that prayer just before. I said, "Father, what lack I yet?" And he showed me an area where I still needed to humble myself. So it's not so much about the other person and what they're doing, but he is trying to get to us and what he needs to do in us to make us and mold us to be the person that he wants us to be, which is a minister of reconciliation. So we have to focus on ourselves, because that's who we can change, and we are willing. Speaking of free will, we are willing to allow God to change us. And the more change he does and completes in us, the more prepared we will be to receive our spouse back. So I posted on the RMM share wall some months ago, I no longer tell people I'm standing for my marriage to be restored, because each of us have gotten that look and those comments that send us into a very negative place. Instead, I say I'm praying for him, and I'm open to reconciliation, because that, I think, puts me in a place where, first of all, I don't look crazy, because there's nothing wrong with praying for anybody. And then second of all, it also leaves the door open that God can do what God wants to do in the marriage. So, Chris, I am going to turn it back over to you so that you can have final comments. I don't want to cut anybody off. Please know we will be having these calls. We're trying to do them weekly. We're trying to keep them to about 45 minutes or less, so that you will want to come back. If we keep you for an hour or more, you may not ever want to come back again. And we'd like to have like a share, you know, a moment where you can share your testimony, because we overcome through the testimony of others. So if you were interested in doing a share on the next call, please let me know. My information was in the invite that Chris provided. And if you don't have it, then you can get with whoever invited you to the call tonight and get my information and let me know that you would like to do a share. If I get more than one, then we'll just select one person for the share for next time. So before I give it over to Chris, is there any last short comments or special prayer requests tonight?
Well, I would just like to touch on who had asked about she doesn't know what to pray anymore, but I've always learned that there's no wrong way to pray. I mean, God already knows what you're going to ask. before you even ask or before you even pray it. He knows your heart. And just, and I'm a firm believer because I've seen it in myself. He's always answered my prayers and, or how should I pray? And he's spoken to me so much in dreams. He will answer you. He will answer you. He will show you what to pray for. And you just keep seeking him. That's all he wants. He just wants our heart. He wants us to go to him and ask how we should pray or what we should do. He wants to be involved in our lives 100%. So there's no wrong way to pray. If you feel like you're praying wrong or anything, that's just a lie that the enemy's probably telling you. Your prayers are not being answered. So just seek him, and he will answer you. He will show you. And he'll use anything, the dream, anything, just to show you.
Amen to that? I do have a prayer request. It's Jennifer.
Okay.
I got hit last night with my husband wants a divorce, and I'm just praying. I did not ever, I don't know how or why I think this, but I just never thought that might have been an option, as crazy as it sounds. He's just very hard towards me. His heart just is in a bad spot right now. If you guys could just pray for me that he really doesn't go through with this. I'm sure you guys have seen me on the wall before. We are going to 2 weddings in 2 weeks, and this morning he said that he'd still go with me. So I think that's a blessing, even though I've been wanting to say, never mind. God just tells me that go, because that was a huge answer for me for one of my prayers. He told me he gave it to me, so just go and enjoy it. That's just a big request that I have from you guys. Thank you.
Okay. Jennifer, have you seen the YouTube video of the lady, I can't think of her name, if someone else knows it, where her husband came to her and said he wanted a divorce? And I want to say the YouTube video was something like radical forgiveness and how that changed our marriage. And she was going to leave or something or put him out, but she didn't. Have you seen that video?
No, but I'll make sure and search for that later on this evening.
Okay, I'll see if I can find it. If I can find it, I'll post it on RMM.
Okay, thank you.
I think next week, Sophia, we were going to speak on, get a testimony on, was it forgiveness or repentance you were going to share with us?
It was on forgiveness.
Okay, so next week is going to be a testimony from Sophia on forgiveness. All right, Chris, it's over to you. Thank you all for your time tonight.
Any other last comments, questions? Is everyone benefiting from this and enjoying this?
Yes, thank
you. Very
much.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Right, I have something.
Sure.
This is Rebecca. I've been quiet this whole time. My son is on his way to visit. And the last time he was here was in November. He's away in college for Thanksgiving. And my husband was here for maybe 2 hours the whole time he was here. The relationship is very strained. But we're supposed to celebrate his birthday Sunday. My husband said he's not sure if he can be there or not. So if y'all would pray with me at that situation. Lessons. I mean, my heart is that my relationship, not just my relationship with my husband, but my kids, because they're grown kids, and my 2 older ones just don't understand what their dad's doing.
Okay.
And so, and it's been really hard. He's our oldest and our only boy. And so, I don't know. I'm going to cry. He doesn't want anything to do with his dad, but he's respectful. So if his dad's around, like, he'll talk to him and stuff. He's very respectful of his dad because it's his dad, but other than that, he won't have anything to do with his dad. But it just so happens, this call happens, and my son's actually traveling here right now.
What's your son's name?
Seth.
Seth? Okay.
Yes. And he just turned 21 last Sunday, but because he's in college out of state, we weren't with him, but he's coming. So we'll celebrate his birthday this weekend. And then my only other thing is
when my husband and I raised in church, we were in ministry together. He's walked away from our family now. And so I mentioned, have you prayed about all of this stuff? And he says, yeah, I pray. My relationship with God is fine. How do you respond to that?
Pray for
you don't. I thought my relationship with God was fine, too. Yeah,
pray
you don't respond
more.
To
that's
that.
All I would say.
Yeah, no, yeah, you know, my husband says the same thing, too, that he prays every morning and every night, and I don't respond to it either. Obviously, if he did really, you know, have a personal, close relationship with God, I think his walk would be a little bit different. So I don't respond to it either. So just, you know, just
but
continue
praying
for him.
I was praying, I was fasting, and I was so wrong. I was in so much sin, and I was still praying and fasting.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good thing that they're praying, because God will get a hold of us. If we're praying, he's going to get a hold of us.
Well, I did, in a nice way, said, well, I don't know that God's necessarily talking back to you because you're in sin right now, because we're not divorced and you're seeing somebody. When I probably should have kept my mouth shut.
Yeah.
It's a little hard for us to do that sometimes.
I'm usually very quiet, but at that point when he said that, I was like, well. Yeah, we actually don't talk that much, actually. My husband and I don't.
You know, there are certain things that are important to remember, some foundational things. We, every one of us born into this world, we are taught a certain way, and we're taught to, you know, to use our mouths, to use the physical instead of the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
God's teaching us a whole different way of pray without ceasing, pray for everything, and everything give thanks. We don't war against flesh and blood, but against the princes and principalities in high places. Our entire battle with our husbands, our wives, our children, our neighbors, our coworkers, our bosses, anybody, fill in the blank with whomever. Our entire battle is not with those people. It's spiritual battle. And I've seen over the last 2 years, I have seen more mountains moved in my life in the last 2 years than I have in my entire life. Now, I was born and raised in a Christian family, but there, you know, I have grown and learned more, I think, the last 2 years than any other period in the past. But prayer is the key. Prayer is the key, and prayer combined with that one-on-one time with God, because that's where God's not always going to answer us in the prayer closet. God has a million different ways of talking to you, to me, to our prodigal spouses, children, whomever. We can't put God in a box. And I think the churches these days, they do. You know, well, you know, your spouse is married, so let's move on. You should move on with your life. I've heard so many testimonials where the standing husband or wife has heard that from their own preachers in church, and God can still restore the marriage, and it makes man's wisdom look foolish. Yes, including the man behind the pulpit. I don't know what else to tell you other than that God's word lines up with the restored marriage testimonials that I've read hundreds of them, and I've seen over 100 videos. You can't discount the common denominator, the thread that runs through all of them, which is that circumstances might be different, scenarios are different, but God is behind every single one. Because you sit there and you think, last night was one I'll mention real quick. There was a woman who's divorced with kids. They were kicked out of the house. She went one night to pick up the kids or drop off the kids. And the husband was stone cold, no emotions, no nothing. And she thought, how in the world can God turn this man's heart? The following morning, he calls her and says, can we get together for a coffee? They get together, and he says to her, I ended my relationship with the other woman 3 months ago. Now, this woman, standing for marriage, had no clue. 3 months ago, I broke off my relationship with the other woman. I kicked her out of the house. I like you and the kids. I moved back into the home. And long story short, that afternoon, he was at her apartment packing up her things, the kids' things, and moving them all back to the to his house after they've been separated. Okay, so get this. After they've been separated for about 2 years and they moved on to different continents, she moved back there just recently, and that's when all of this happened. So the night before, nothing, just angry as a person can be. And the following morning, all he wanted to do was he wanted his wife back, his children back, his marriage back. He wanted everything back just instantly. Saul to Paul, instantly, suddenly, that happens so often, suddenly. So we don't know. We're called to stand, have faith, and stand on God's word and stand with God in the gap. I'm sorry, I could go on and I don't want to ramble, but be encouraged, everyone, because it doesn't matter what you're saying. You could take your situation and multiply it 1,000% worse, and God still can do it. There's nothing impossible for him. So stand fast. Don't lose hope. Stay the course. And that's what we're hoping we can do with these conference calls, is, and not only with our posts online on the prayer wall, but with these here so you guys can get more connection. You have to just take God seriously. God's going to do it. God can and he will. So before delaying any longer, I'm sorry, Lisa, we're way over time. Let me go into prayer and then we'll bring this to a close. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. All of us, we come together individually and corporately. We come before you, Father. We just, our hearts are open to you, Father. We want to stand on your word. We want to stand on your promises. Father, I ask on behalf of all of us that you would strengthen each of us. You know each of our weaknesses. You know each of our strengths. You know each of our, all of the battles, the various battles that we're all struggling with. Some are similar, others are different. Father, come meet us here, wherever we are, in our stand, in our faith, in our walk with you, in our struggles and trials. Come stand with us. Come stand with us and make yourself known. For those who haven't heard you or haven't heard you in a while, Father, come, let them hear your voice. Let them hear your voice through dreams, circumstances. You have a million different ways to speak to us. Let all of us hear you tonight. Tonight, tomorrow, speak to each of our hearts, specifically towards our situation, our circumstances. Father, we need you. We cannot live without you. We cannot breathe without you. We want you to show us and teach us your face. That's what you want. And if we do those things, if you can show us how to do those things through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit, then you will give us everything that we need to continue our stand and continue it and run this race successfully to the end, where you will bring restoration to each and every single one of our marriages. Nothing's impossible with you. Nothing. You are faithful to end, to finish the good work you began in all of us. So, Father, we stand on your word. We stand on your promises. We stand together. Father, build us up and take us from faith to faith and glory to glory as you promise. We stand on your word and your promises. And I ask, Father, that you bless every single heart that's on this conference call tonight, every heart. Take away every pain, every heartache. Take away every fear, every worry, Father. Give us that joy and that peace that passes all understanding. Father, I pray that you would give us all these things as we all stand in agreement. You said if two of us, two or more stand in agreement on anything on earth, it shall be done in heaven. So, Father, we ask, let it be done to all of us tonight as we ask and we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you, everyone.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Have a blessed night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.